Today's program is proudly brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Visit WholeFoodsMarket.com or download the Whole Foods Market app to learn more and find the store nearest to you.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Yeah. and welcome to Snacky Tunes. I'm one half of your host, Dara Bresnitz.
I'm the other half of your host, Greg Bresnitz.
And we're coming to you from the beautiful Modena at Bar M. Schiavone.
Schiavone.
Welcome. We have Sarah and Chiara Fantoni.
Yes,
it's owners, right. Sisters, panini maestras?
Yeah,
maestra.
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 How long does it take to become a maestra?
Of the panini.
Of the panini.
It depends. Maybe you can burn with the... you are born with this...
Some of you... Look, you're either born with it, and you refine it over the years, or you're hopeless.
She's born with the cooking. Me no.
With the passion?
Not me.
Did you... Darren was the one that got me into food. My college meals were tuna fish and mac and cheese, and he brought me into it. Did she bring you into the food world as well?
But basically, our father, when we were young, started with us to cooking on Sunday and also other days, so we grew up cooking.
With also mother and grandmother that used to show us every recipe.
And what were some of the recipes, or what are some of the family standout dishes?
Risotto.
What type?
Risotto.
Any kind.
Yeah. Parmigiano, mushrooms, porcini.
Where did you grow up?
Where?
Yeah.
In Modena for the beginning of childhood. Then we moved in another city near Maranello, near the countryside.
And who was the best cook? Mom, grandma, dad?
Maybe our father.
Everybody do different things.
So. Yes, our grandma does fresh pasta. So.
So is it just a given that when you grow up in this part of the world that you have to learn how to cook for yourself?
Usually women in this region, in old times, made a lot of fresh pasta. So. Nowadays, it's less because I don't think my friend of mine can make fresh pasta.
But you started cooking professionally, right?
Yeah.
When did you start cooking professionally?
After the college, because I studied languages, but I have this passion, and I decided to make it as a work. So I do a class to have... knowledge more...
like cooking school.
Yeah, like cooking school. Then I start to make some stage, and I find my way in work. And after some years cooking in a restaurant or for private family, we decide to take this special bar.
And where did you stage?
In some famous restaurant also.
Okay. Yeah, you staged at Osteria Francescana, right?
Yes.
And did you take anything that you learned from there and think, I can apply this to paninis?
No.
It's a bit hard to put those things in panini.
Yeah. So, for those who are unfamiliar with the history of Bar Schiavone, what's the history of it? When did this place first open?
Alors, it first opened really in the square near the dome, mm-hmm. and they were selling like liquors.
Mm-hmm.
Then it came here when they opened the market, and they were selling two liquors.
Yeah.
And after 30 years, the man before us began to do panini, and at first time it was very hard because people didn't understand.
Wanted only
ham and cheese.
Mortadella.
And salami. So.
So when he first started, people just didn't even
appreciate it. No.
So was it just one type of sandwich across the city or the country? It was just a very, just like that's what you got.
Like when you say like panini back in the old day, if you said panini, it was automatically ham and cheese.
In Italy, I think yes, it's ham and mozzarella and tomatoes, basically, or mortadella.
And, yeah. But he wanted to change what they were.
Yes,
what
he wanted to change because they are like first courses or second inside of the bread.
And what was his name?
Giancarlo.
And how long did it take for people to start appreciating different types of paninis?
I think after some years.
Many, many years. Yeah. Many years.
Now, when, so you grew up in the area. When is the first time you came here?
I think I was at high school. I was 15 years old. Because mm-hmm. we came with our mother. That was her friend. So, yes, maybe I was 15.
And I remember when I was cooking, mm-hmm. that every time that I come here, he wants to me to take the bar because he was already tired.
Mm.
So yeah. every time ask me if I want to take the bar and make panini. But for a chef, it was like
Step down.
Step yeah. down, yeah.
Right, right, right. Yeah. He knew that you were a chef.
Yeah.
And what did he maybe see in you, or what did he know about you that he thought that you would be a good fit for this? Or was it that you were just a chef and you knew food?
I think he saw that she could have that passion and
to work here. He wanted to continue this quality and tradition.
Yes, so because many people asked him to buy, but he knew that they would have changed everything.
Oh, interesting. So he wanted to make sure that it continued.
Yeah, the same panini.
And did he, when you took it from him, did he have instructions or recipes, or is there like a folder back there on like how it must be done?
He stayed with us for 1 month and he gave us this recipes book.
So what made you decide to take it over? Like what changed your mind?
She was very tired to work by night in restaurants,
mm-hmm.
and so working on day would have been much better.
Yeah, but for me the change was only for this kind of bar with special things like panini.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to choose. I never...
And for me it was totally unconscious, so I was 20 yeah. years old.
And what were you doing at the time?
I was really skinny instead of now, and I was modeling and doing other things.
But the panini life is a little bit of a rounder.
Yeah, yeah, I'm curvy, so it's better with panini than without.
So when you decided to take it over and he was teaching you, was there anything that you discovered about the panini that you had taken for granted, that some people take for granted? They go, oh, it's just such a simple sandwich.
Yeah.
But what did you learn?
The secret is the bread.
Do you make your own bread?
No. We have a different bakery.
Mm-hmm.
Five.
Yes. But...
you say five bakeries?
Five. Yeah, I
More
think
or less,
five.
Yes.
Because we got a few sandwiches before, and it was really cool that each sandwich came on a different type of bread, which I was actually surprised when I was in Florence earlier this week. Same sandwich, same bread.
Same in America. There's like, oh, panini, one bread.
Right.
There's a really good one you didn't try because it's on holiday and it's organic.
Mm-hmm. So what did you learn about the panini that was different? It's the bread?
The bread, that every... every piece that you put in the mouth has to be with everything in the sandwich, not one olives, one tomatoes.
So for every bite, you have the full panino on your mouth, because otherwise it's not good.
That's how our grandmother used to eat. It was everything on the plate, one piece of everything had to be on the fork.
Yeah.
It wasn't like peas and then turkey, or the whenever, it was every bite, which is how I eat as well.
This is it.
Yeah. So when you were going into business, how did you two decide to go into business as sisters?
Oh my God. I think we didn't think about it because...
No.
In the first years, we used to argue a lot. Now we learned, so maybe I don't talk, she doesn't talk, so we don't argue a lot.
When we used to work more together, there would be times we'd be in a, what we call a house meeting,
And at some point, I would just walk out the front door mid-sentence, and I would just take laps until I figured enough time had passed.
Actually, the first year, we also went on holiday together, but it was the last one. So,
but here is so little that if you want to escape, it's impossible.
Yeah, you have to like, go into the market. So how do you... how do you split up the business? Do one of you run... Sarah, do you run the cooking and things like that, or do you both?
Yes, I'm really good on math and.
Kiara, you do the math and the business and things like that. And do you, Sarah, so are you making, like, take us through like a quick day? Like, you start at 6 a.m., right?
7 now.
Yeah, now
7 now?
During the year, we start late.
So one is opening and the other is coming at 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
Then when the other is coming, I go shopping and take all the ingredients for the panini. Then we prepare everything. At about midday comes every people from the offices and so on. And then at 3:30 we start cleaning. Yeah.
And do you get all of your? Do you just go right out to the market and buy all of your ingredients?
All the fresh ingredients.
This is probably one of the closest restaurants.
This
to market.
It's so lucky to be here because when you miss something, you can do...
It's like cooking in a supermarket.
And does what coming to the market dictate... Because I know that you change the panini every day, right? Do you change the menu with what's available in the market? Or
yes, by the season.
Do you have any of the vendors here who are saying, this is super great, it's the best time of year, you should put this in a sandwich this week? Do they get involved in it or make suggestions?
Yes, sometimes.
Yeah, what's one of the best sandwiches that you made based on a recommendation from one of the vendors?
Basically, the organic one we make on Friday.
Mm.
The special one, yeah.
But...
Because in organic plants, they have like stranger things, so unusual to find.
So sometimes a sandwich is so good because the ingredients are very fresh and particular. And
it's different to buy vegetables on a supermarket that taste is like plastic.
Same in America. There's a difference between the fresh farmers market and then the supermarket.
It's more expensive, but
it's worth it.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things that you've had to wrestle with as well, right? Because your paninis are more expensive.
Since a few months they were very cheap. Now we had a bit recharged because we couldn't go on with those price, so...
And how have people responded?
It depends.
Yeah. People from Modena, maybe someone is not very happy, but with tourists, we are so happy because they really appreciate.
Yeah. Well, we really appreciate it. And we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk a little bit about keeping the tradition alive. Some of the sandwiches that were served from Giancarlo that you're now serving. We have a quick musical break from the archives on Snacky Tunes from Modena on heritageradionetwork.org. Thank you. welcome back to Snacky Tunes. We are in Bar and Schiavone in Modena with Sarah and Chiara Fantoni, owners, operators, sisters, panini maestras from birth. So, you know, you're taking over anything that's been around for longer than you've been alive is always, there's like a weight to it, like a responsibility, especially as you said that the owner wanted to keep the traditions alive.
Yeah.
What are some of those traditions that you've kept alive since taking over?
The most famous one is cotechino.
Which we had?
Today, yeah.
Today, we got two. what is it?
Is all the whole leg, the pork's leg, chopped and boiled and put on a...
It's like artificial skin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like a sausage.
It looks like the pork's feet.
And then what do you spread on it? Because that was delicious.
It was the green sauce.
The pesto?
It's different.
Different.
Pesto is basil.
Okay.
Green sauce is made with persil.
Ah. Very nice. And that's been around since these doors opened?
The sandwich?
I think so. Okay.
But this special panino,
mm-hmm.
born a long time ago, but there is a big party that we made on the 14th of August, and this party start like a joke.
Yes, it's special because in Modena you don't think you eat cotechino in summer because you die on the sun.
Because it's so hot.
Usually we eat it in winter.
Uh-huh.
So we decide to do it in the 14th of August
with a couple of friends. And the bet was that you have to
eat
the sandwich under the sun, drinking a bottle of Lambrusco.
Like the most Modena thing like you could have, right? Yeah. And then shots of like balsamic vinegar, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now every year we make it and make also like concert, and it's a big party.
Oh, that's awesome.
Are people just pouring sweat, just sweating and just messy?
No, because sometimes it's raining also. So
oh yeah.
Only this day of August.
You mentioned that there were five different types of bread. Curious to know, how do you pair the fillings with the bread, and how did you get that right combination, and what goes where?
By tasting, we found that like fish is better in the longest that we have, and because you taste more the taste of the fish because it's very delicate, and
also other panini we are decided by the shape of the bread, because if you have a lot of vegetables in a thin panini bread, it's difficult to put inside and it becomes like a problem when you eat it.
Yes.
And is it all the same type of grain? Is it all one type of flour, or is it different?
Yes, instead of the organic one, it's all...
The flour is the same, but the process is mm-hmm. different.
Got it. Mm-hmm. So, having that bread, having new types of filling, is that a way to keep the name, keep the tradition, but make it your own? And put your own mark on the restaurant?
Yeah, I think we change a lot of things. Also, wines, and people recognize it.
Because you serve natural wine.
Yeah.
Which you would not expect, probably back in the day, it was like, do you want red or white?
So basically, really, we are drinking most of natural wines because we are open only at lunch.
Mm.
So people maybe drink more at dinner.
Yeah.
But we try to sell them because we really love them and they match perfectly with some sandwiches.
So, you know, you mentioned before about and having to raise your prices, people from town might not respond as well. How do you fit into the Modena culinary scene? What is it like?
It's a bit hard because it's divided from people that works in offices because they have they are very hurry and everything, and I don't know how to explain because it's so many different people.
Students, families.
They are all very different.
Old people, tourists, someone meet there for chance, and there are many years that they don't meet. Every day is like
a new experience.
Working in a theater because you see especially many things.
And so, you know, as Modenab becomes more famous as a food city around the world, what changes do you see with that as well?
This thanking also to Massimo Bottura that really gave us some notoriously,
Yeah, because I know that he's a big fan of your...
Yeah, boss. He's the boss, so...
He's the boss?
We are glad to him because for him, so many people came to Modena.
So, let's talk about the menu. I know that you change it almost every... I know it's seasonal, but every day you change the menu. What's your process like of deciding what goes on the menu outside of just what's available at the market?
Or what the vendors recommend?
We check that every day of the week
is not the same of the week before. So every Monday is different from the last Monday, every Tuesday, Wednesday, and so on.
Or if the most important ingredient is the same, the filling is changing. So.
Or maybe when she goes to somewhere and eats something she likes, she wakes up and she says, "Today I'm gonna do that."
I mean, that's so nice to have that inspiration. I mean, there's got to be, even though you're making panini and it's like the same, there has to be some, I guess, sort of freedom to experiment because it is one type of food that you're making.
Yeah. It's like I make a lot of experience, but usually I know what I do. Because I think with my flavor,
she matches everything on her brain. She's like a dog when try to find truffles. I call her.
But so all the fillings, all everything made in. I mean, it's not. It's tiny. It's what 100 square meters, maybe. I mean, it's smaller than that, and you do all the cooking here, right?
Yeah. Some things. Like some sauce or...
Yeah, we take from other places and the rest that we can do here, we do it here.
And now that you change it every week, do you just have lists of different paninis? Like, how many do you have?
Is there like a panini binder?
Yeah, we have a lot of little books.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, really?
And she writes the day and the five different, so...
Oh, so sometimes you go back and you're like, oh, that was such a great one a couple of years ago, and you put it back on the menu?
Yes, because maybe sometimes she does similar panini, so she wants to look back to do different ones.
So, I know recently you were on Master of None. What was that experience like?
It was wonderful.
Yeah?
It was on holiday.
Yeah.
But how did that come about?
What?
How did that happen?
Everything becomes begins in winter when Aziz came to Modena, and I think that
we didn't know who he was. Yeah,
we in Modena.
And after many months, he told us that he was doing a show, and we said, "Oh my god!"
So he was here for a while before he said anything.
Yeah, he was eating here. Yeah. Without saying anything.
We were so glad
to be on the show.
Yeah. Everybody was very kind, and I think that for Modena it has been a beautiful experience and
an advertisement also.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's a coincidence, but ever since the show aired, I feel like everyone I know has gone to Italy this year.
Yes, they're doing like the Master of None tour.
Yeah.
Through Italy.
Yeah. It happened in New York. Eater posted a map of all the restaurants they go to in New York as soon as the season came out. So people were friends with the Four Horsemen people which is the, for those in the show, it's where Deb takes all of his first dates. And they said that people just come in, sit at the table, take a photo, maybe order something, but generally take a photo and leave.
No, here they order.
They drink the same thing usually.
So what's the future? What, when you look, you know, another 7 years down the road or another 37 years, what do you see as the future of this place?
We would like to open another basketball.
Maybe on the seaside.
In Portofino or someplace
in the
Garing Coast?
No, somewhere out of Italy. But, yeah.
And with the sandwiches, also just pull from the local ingredients, it would be what you get there, you couldn't get here?
Yeah, it's harder, so it's hard for that reason. So, to achieve fresh ingredients that we use here in other countries, so...
But you could hunt out those flavors. You could figure out what the flavors are, right? In the...
She can match new things.
So. Yeah. Well, we want to thank you. Congratulations. This is such an awesome, special place. It might be the smallest sandwich shop I've ever been to, but has the largest flavor. So thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for feeding us today.
We really appreciate it.
And if people wanted to find you, where can they find you or locate you or online? Or
We are on now from this year on Instagram.
Awesome.
And our Facebook page is not very...
But that's how I found you.
Ah, okay.
Facebook. Very responsive.
Those two. We have not a site. But...
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. We have another song from the Snacky Tunes archives and then a live performance coming up on heritageradionetwork.org.
Yeah. Hi, it's Jameson Fink. I'm senior digital editor at Wine Enthusiast, and I'm wondering what kind of vessel do you drink your wine from? I know that's a terribly awkward, probably grammatically incorrect sentence, but my point is I didn't want to say wine glass because, confession time, when I'm at home, I actually rarely, if ever, drink wine from a wine glass, you know, a fancy stem with the base and the stem and the tulip, your classic swirl and sniff type of wine glass. I actually have my three favorite wine vessels in front of me, and I'm just going to run them down. One is it's an enamelware glass that I like a lot. It's actually a collaboration between a great wine blogger and writer, Marissa A. Ross, and Crow Canyon Home, and it was under $10, and I bought a bunch of them. I love them. I also drink out of a Charlie Harper juice glass that I got at Fish's Eddy. I just love Charlie Harper and just makes me really happy to drink wine from it. And then the third thing, it's a Fernet Branca, like little short glass that I got. Like you bought a bottle of Fernet and it came with a couple glasses and it's got a bunch of dancing alligators on it. Again, it's fun, it's whimsical, and I really enjoy drinking from it. Now, lest you think I eschew wine glasses, okay, I do have a couple wine glasses here in my house, fancy pants ones. They're actually, I'm looking at them right now, they're on top of my cabinet in a box, and I think I have to get a step stool to reach them. But that doesn't mean I wouldn't use them if the occasion was right. Really, it's just a lot of it is clumsiness and laziness. It's nice when you're entertaining to have just drink out of juice glasses or mugs or whatever. Actually, coffee mugs I really like too. Our senior editor wrote a great editorial sort of viewpoint. Our coffee mugs, the new wine glasses, in praise of the coffee mug. And if you just Google coffee mug wine enthusiast, you can read that, and I recommend you do. But I do love when I'm going out to eat at a really nice, kind of fancy pants restaurant, and they give you really nice stemware, and you're drinking wines of a certain, stature or fame, and it just seems right for the occasion. Whereas the picnic with stemless glasses just seems like the right occasion too. And so I do enjoy drinking from wine glasses. I'm not a monster. I'm just kidding. You're not a monster if you don't drink from wine glasses. You're like me. You're just a regular wine drinking person. And most of the wines I drink anyway are inexpensive wines. So it's not like I'm drinking, Grand Cru Burgundy out of a coffee mug. Not that that would be wrong, but I would probably even break out the stemware for that. I just want to talk about the wine I'm drinking right now. It's kind of a rainy, moody, atmospheric day, brooding. I just felt that it's very brooding here in Brooklyn. So I stopped by a wine shop and I picked up a Nebbiolo. That's the grape. And this wine is from Piedmont in northern Italy. And Piedmont is where two of the world's most famous wine regions are, Barolo and Barbaresco. Some of the best wines I've ever drank are Barolo and Barbaresco, and if you haven't tried them, I suggest you do. But what the nice thing is about this wine, it's a Nebbiolo from Langhe, which is L-A-N-G-H-E, which is a larger region, and in that region are Barolo and Barbaresco. So it's kind of like, like a baby Barolo or a baby Barbaresco. You get a lot of those qualities at a much lower price. So I highly recommend searching out a Nebbiolo from this region. And it's interesting because it's not a... It's a pretty casual drinking wine. Like, it's really easy. Like, I'm going to drink it right now. It's refreshing. It's got some zip to it, but then it's also got some weight. It's kind of this, like, wine that defies the laws of physics, where it's sort of, like, light on the palate, but yet has some sort of full body to it. So it'd be great. It's a great food wine, like any kind of hearty stews, mushroom dishes. It would be wonderful with. All right, I just paused there for a second. You might want to edit that out, guys. So anyway, my point is don't be afraid to drink wine out of any receptacle, vessel, glass, jar, jelly jar, I don't know, whatever you have on hand. I've drank wine out of a solo cup, a paper cup, out of the bottle, straight from the box, whatever you have on hand or don't have on hand, use it. And then my other tip is that it's fall. Think about some really fall-friendly food wines, and I think Nebbiolo from Italy, specifically from Piedmont, is this bottle was like $22, so it's not cheap, but it's not super expensive. And if you bring it to any wine nerd's house, they're gonna be like, oh yeah, they're gonna be stoked. So seek out those wines, and you know, if you break out the crystal, that's great. If you don't, that's cool too. And I'll be here drinking out of a coffee mug. Bye.
Today's program is proudly brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Whole Foods Market believes in seeking out local, fresh, and seasonal food, and in supporting local farmers, makers, and the community as a whole, economically and agriculturally. Whole Foods Market believes in food that is vivid and colorful, fresh and full of nutrients. Food that connects you to your body, the seasons, and to nature. Food that helps you do more, sleep better, and wake up happier. Found in over 400 locations throughout the United States, Whole Foods Market only sells food that meets their standards, which means no artificial colors, flavors, preservatives, or sweeteners, ever. Whole Foods Market believes in real food. Visit wholefoodsmarket.com or download the Whole Foods Market app to learn more.
Welcome back to Snacking Tunes. We have Heaven's Gate here in the studio, crammed in.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hello.
Do you want to go around the room, introduce yourself, say what you play, maybe favorite pizza topping?
My name is Jack, and I play guitar and prosciutto.
Prosciutto, okay.
You took prosciutto?
Oh. No.
You can't go off the bat.
You can repeat it if you feel really it's necessary.
I want to be original.
I'm Alex. Oh. I play bass.
And my favorite topping is mozzarella cheese.
Okay.
Classic. God damn it.
So
that's
basic.
That's my number one and two. All right.
My name is Jess, and I sing vocals. And my favorite topping is definitely mushrooms.
Okay, mushrooms.
My name is Michael. I play percussion, and like one of my favorite toppings on the pizza is like the marinara sauce.
Okay.
The pizza
sauce. It's not. It's
topping.
What?
The sauce.
You can put the sauce on top of. You can do a reverse pizza and put it on top. Yeah. That's an acceptable. It's acceptable answer.
I guess you could put basil on there too.
That's acceptable answer. Nothing is. There's no wrong answers here on Snacking.
So far, we have cheese and sauce, two essential ingredients of pizza.
That's the rhythm section right there. Yeah. Essential ingredients.
Yeah.
I would have said prosciutto. Oh, Mike, I play guitar. I would have said prosciutto, but I'm gonna say crawfish.
Where have you had crawfish pizza?
Two Boots.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Classic.
It's my
Louisiana
shit.
Pizza.
How many crawfish pizzas do you think they're churning? How much fresh crawfish do you think they actually
flying it from New Orleans straight to
the bottom of the
West
barrel,
Village.
Soaking in water in the walk-in.
I think they're probably, during a certain time of the year, they're probably flying through maybe like seven a day. Seven slice at a time.
Roughly.
Yeah. It's gross.
So how did you guys all meet? I know that you formed back in 2001, but what's the story?
2001.
2011,
Ooh,
sorry.
Do we look that old?
Woo!
That scared me.
Mike and I probably met. Oh no,
Me and Alex met in high school. We were from the same town, New Jersey. Then we all moved into New York. Me and Jess met at a sweat lodge.
Like a classic sweat lodge, run into the snow type sweat lodge.
Pretty traditional sweat lodge.
Yeah, it was a triangular sweat lodge.
And actually, me and Mike were talking about this. I think we met working door for...
At Salad Barn in 2006 or something.
Yeah, 2006 or something.
We were working the door for Todd P.
Okay.
What about Jack?
And then Jack and me met maybe at that garage on Myrtle where Sophia used to do shows, but he was like 15 and a guitar shredder.
Yeah.
He's definitely underage.
Definitely underage. Mm-hmm. You all look underage.
He's still 15.
Oh, stop.
Who do you think is the oldest person in the band?
Oh, I'm not playing this game. That is how I get murdered on my own radio show. Yeah. What I love about your music is that you have really deep topics. For example, like women held captive for a number of decades. How did you take that path for song lyrics, and how did it evolve from the first EP into the last two EPs about where you pull your ideas from?
I think when we first started, I mean, my background's in like folk music, so I was writing more like traditional type of songs. But I think when our first two records, I was just trying to pull something together. I mean, I was writing about, you know, smoking weed and dudes and just very like surface level things. And then we were working on Women in Night. I really wanted to kind of own that process and to like really be think consciously about what I wanted to sing about. And it was just a time where I was just really thinking a lot about, you know, women, sort of just like the experience of being a woman, feeling unsafe a lot of the time. And, you know, as always, there's like stuff coming up in the news. So that kind of was informing that record. And on this record, I was actually doing psychoanalysis for the entirety of us doing this record. So I think there's a lot of stuff. I think it's very heavy in terms of like your interior world. And I think there's a lot on trauma and those sorts of things.
So you say like on the last record, it was about, you know, the issues that are facing women outwardly. And now these are issues that are facing you from the inside out.
Perhaps, or you just, I think you get more comfortable going there. So I think, yeah, maybe the last record gave me permission to kind of go more internal.
Yeah, also a lot of the songs in the last record were named after women. So it was kind of like, we kind of were playing with this theme of different stories happening to different women.
Yes, thank you for saying that.
And did you feel that the music or the structure, or like the sonic landscape, change at all as you got more into this and even into the new record? Or do you think the sound of the music always sounded the same and the lyrics are what changed?
Oh, it's totally different. But we started off thinking we were one kind of band, and just, you know, we've been together since 2011, so...
Some would say 2001.
Arguably.
Spiritually.
Never forget.
What type of band did you think that you were, and what band are you actually?
We thought we were a shoegaze band, and now we are something else.
We sound a little bit like a AC/DC.
Come on.
I mean, no. like high voltage, you know, like like that really. I don't know. I feel like it's very dancey, spacey, long form, drony. Like,
I mean, I don't think we'd still be a band if we knew what we actually sounded like. We want to keep writing records, and ideally I think it's going to change each record.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where we came to, is like we started off trying to be a one sound, and now we kind of don't really adhere to one sound.
Yeah.
We're
growing up.
We can do a country song, we can do a fucking... Germs song, we can do whatever, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I mean, I had never heard of shoegaze when this band started, so I didn't know what the fuck they were talking. But I think, you know, it's definitely gotten a little, you know, we have songs on this record that, like, kind of read as more, like, hardcore, like, songs more punk. Definitely we got a lot noisier, and I agree with your question. I think that as the sounds sort of change, the mood changes, right? So it started off poppy, happy, you know, superficially kind of summery, we were younger, and
boys and smoking weed, and now it's real issues.
Sure.
Yeah.
Can we hear some?
Go back to boys and weed again. Right.
The boys and weed are still there, but just other things on top of that.
Can we hear a song?
Yeah, let's play a song.
What are you gonna play for us first?
This first song, everything we're gonna play tonight is gonna be off our upcoming record that we just recorded, and this first song is called Television.
Great. Here we go, live on Snacky Tunes. We'll be right back.
you wrote that you are a big fan of Guy Fieri.
I don't know if you said it right. If you've been watching his shows, he actually says Fieri now.
Oh, he changed it?
He did. He doesn't say, I'm Guy Fieri. Now yeah. He says Fieri.
Well, Darren and I are a big fan of the Triple D. We spent much time talking about it.
Great, let's do it.
Outside of the fact that once you get past the fact of, you know, what you see, we love the fact that he's actually one of the few people that actually go out and, like, promote really small restaurants. Yes. And restaurants go on the record that after he stops by, the restaurants do a lot better. Huh. What are your reasons for loving him?
Okay. So,
move mic over.
Triple D is an antidepressant. It is, it really is. If you watch cooking shows, if you watch other shows, he never says anything negative about anything, except for eggs. He hates eggs, and he will not eat eggs, especially raw eggs, like with the yolk. But if you notice it, he doesn't actually like get into any content. He just describes what he eats. Like, he'll take a bite of a sandwich and he'll say, the toast and the lettuce and that mayonnaise is really coming through. And and then you get hit with that turkey at the end. It's just, I think good. when you're looking for that kind of like psychic break, or like you're just feeling down about stuff, he's just really he's a really posy dude.
I think in a way he captures the millennial zeitgeist.
He's just, you know, he's joyous and simple, and it's easy to watch, and I really appreciate his unbridled enthusiasm. Mm.
There's a cynicism that I used to have when I first started watching with it. Like, no way this guy can keep it up for this long a time. But, you know, month after month, year after year, like,
And it never changes?
It never changes.
But it doesn't matter. And there's no rhyme or reason to an episode. He's like, we're here in Detroit, and then he's like, now we're skipping over to Honduras.
I think that now, well, to pull into a little bit of magic, like TV magic, is like, I think that that's because they have so many episodes and so many locations. They're like, we're just gonna, it's a forever clip show.
Totally. Who knows?
Yeah. He might be dead for the last 3 years. We have no idea.
Or maybe he is like AI.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be amazing.
Like, oh my goodness.
That he's just, they've just funneled in all the flavor, like, yeah, all the flavor, yeah, profiles, yeah. And he's, yeah, like,
all that Twitter, you know, data digestion is like spat back out.
Well, and now it's Triple G, Guy's Grocery Games.
I have not watched that yet.
Triple G is a boxer. He's a great boxer. Yeah, he's amazing.
Like a box of.
He has his own supermarket, and there's everything in it. Everything you could ever need, like squid ink. Like things that you would never have at a grocery store. He's got it all.
But is this, yeah, a show?
It's a show. Three contestants. They have carts. They have challenges. They have to run. They get the stuff, they put it in the carts.
This is like supermarket sweeps.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. But then he fucks with them a lot.
Oh.
Can I say that?
Yeah, you can. I mean, I don't think Guy Fieri fucks with anybody. He might mess with them.
He messes with them. Yeah. And he has some really good pranks. You should watch it.
Okay. Can we hear another song?
Yeah.
What are you going to play for us?
Landline.
Yeah, this one's called Landline. It's also going to be off our next record.
Cool.
It's our dead format suite.
Our what?
Dead format suite, you know, like television into Landline.
Perfect. Ooh. Here we go, live on Snacky Tunes.
Thank you.
That song was great. What are your favorite songs to cook to?
Ooh.
Oh, man. I like Mark Morrison, Return of the Mac, when I'm making specifically macaroni and cheese.
Is it just
with chorizo?
Is it just on repeat? Is it you just like yeah, repeat just it, like yeah. over and over?
It's just that original O that he does. That's me, and I'm just like mixing in the cheese.
I like Nina Simone does a version of Tell It Like It Is.
Of course, amazing.
Oh my god, I get to snuggle up with Bae, chop up them onions.
You're chopping up onions in bed?
Yeah, chopping up the peppers and onions.
Are they going into anything? Or you just like, you have like Tupperwares of like onions and peppers that just listen to Nina Simone?
Bro, it doesn't get that far.
Okay. Get some marinara sauce, and you've almost got a pizza, kinda.
Walter Wanderley and like samba music.
Oh, samba,
like early like, I guess it's late 60s. It just feels really great to whisk eggs too.
Oh.
You, like do a little dance.
Oh, also yeah, Nelly, and anything Nelly.
All right.
I honestly cook. Mostly to talk radio, like podcasts. Music is not a cooking activity for me. I don't know.
You like throw on some Terry Gross and you're like, I'm gonna, you know, make some roast chicken, about life.
Coast
to coast.
Or like, like, you know, some true crime.
Oh, perfect. Oh, okay. That's a little
That's, you know, really whets my appetite.
Yeah. Try that. Maybe I'll start cooking more.
Yeah.
True crime. That's
You know, I think like, you know, like the class, you know, classic like Billie Holiday or like Ella, or like maybe like Shangri-La's.
Oh, what are you cooking to this? Like, what are you making?
I make all kinds of stuff, baby.
Oh, okay. So you mentioned the new record. Any plans for release, label, home?
Yeah, we're still finishing it up. We did it upstate, which was really nice for us to not do a record in New York.
City.
So we did it like outside of Hudson.
And a fruit farm.
In Germantown. The studio that a bunch of other really great bands have recorded at. We're still in the process of finishing it, and we're just not really rushing it at this point. You know, it's gonna be our third full length, and fourth release, so just taking our time with it. Feeling good about it.
Simmer.
We're very, very excited about it. It's gonna sound better and bigger than anything we've ever done before. So I think it's gonna be great.
Yeah, man. To continue that analogy, a lot of these songs have definitely been like minced really well.
Minced.
Yeah.
Well, he said, "Let it simmer."
Yeah.
Minced.
From like Milan to minced.
Like cut up little pieces of garlic.
Yeah, minced garlic.
Yeah. Sorry, maybe that's the wrong analogy. Then I don't know. No, some of the songs are like worked on for a very long time. You know what I mean? Like there's been a lot of like.
There's a lot of layers.
We put a lot of work into it.
Yeah. A red onion.
Do like a julienne.
We can strike that. I'm sure.
No, we're gonna keep that all.
Julienne the song.
I want to make sure that we have time to get in one more song. But any tours coming up?
We'll tour after the record comes out.
Any local shows?
We'll probably play. We just played this past week at Secret Project Robot with Weeping Icon, who are really amazing.
Yeah.
We're probably going to play a bunch towards the end of the year and maybe tour in early spring, but we're kind of just working on finishing the record right now. But keep your eyes peeled.
Cool.
We'll be out there.
Ears on the radio.
And where can people find you? Social media, Instagram, Spotify, Bandcamp.
The internet.
We have a Bandcamp, and you can buy really cool t-shirts with records on it.
Perfect. We're on Spotify. We're on Google.
But we're a little old school, so we don't have like a tweeter.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Just people yelling at each other anyway.
Yeah, we'd be beefing way too much if we had a Twitter.
I would delete all of your posts.
Too many non-sequiturs, I'm sure.
Well, I want to thank Heaven's Gate for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having us.
Big shout out to our food guests earlier in the show. We will be back next week with another live episode of Snacky Tunes. What's the name of the song you're going to take us out with?
Depressive Agitation.
Perfect. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
We will be back next week. Thanks for listening.
about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.